Would you be turning your Bibles to Genesis chapter 2? While you're turning there, too, just kind of a way of testimony and, too, and a prayer request. Many of you know my youngest daughter, Whitney. Her and her husband just accepted a call from the International Mission Board to go to Japan. So they're going to be going to the International Learning Center in Richmond in October for about 2 months of training, and then either right before Christmas or right after Christmas heading out to Japan for 4 years. And so pray for them. Everything goes well with them. But just kind of way of testimony on that, they had put together a moving sale, and they're selling, basically were selling about everything that they had in preparation for the move. And they had advertised it on Facebook and put all their stuff and all everything and had it yesterday from 8 to 1 o'clock. And Whitney said about 1 o'clock, said they hadn't, traffic had been slow. They were wanting to sell everything. And said they hadn't sold near what they wanted to sell and kind of looking kind of bleak, so to speak. And about 1:30, a fella came by their church, from their church and said, said, my dad just texted me, who's a member of their church, too, and said, what do you want for all the rest of it? Whitney said, what do you mean all the rest of it? Because they had, like, Christmas stuff, this, and that. And she said, well, what do you mean the rest of it? All of it. You mean all of it? Like, all? Yeah, like all of it. What do you want? So they gave him a price, and he looked at her and said, that's not enough. Texted his dad, text back, and said, I'm going to give you this for it. It was over three times what she'd asked for it. Bought everything, and so they were just praising the Lord yesterday afternoon, because right in the middle of it, he's there, amen. Genesis chapter 2, we're going to look at verse 8 and 9 and 16 and 17 this morning. I want to share something with you this morning. It's really dear to my heart with the situation we have in our country, in our lives, and so many people are struggling and hurting. And so much of our pain that we experience is self-inflicted because of our own choices. So I want to share with you this morning about making right choices. So if you found God's Word, chapter 2, Genesis, verse 8, would you stand with me if you're able and honor the reading of His Word? The Lord God planted a garden eastward in Eden, and there He put the man whom He had formed. And out of the ground the Lord God made every tree grow that is pleasant to the sight for good and good for food. The tree of life was also in the midst of the garden, and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Verse 16. And the Lord commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden you may freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat, for in the day that you eat of it you shall surely die. Would you pray with me? Father, we thank You this morning for ministering to our hearts through Your Holy Spirit, through word and then song. Lord, just help me to share Your truth this morning. I pray that You'd help us to see its truth this morning, that we might apply it to our lives, that we might live lives that would bring honor, glory to You, and joy and peace to us. We'll give You thanks for what You do in Christ's name. And amen. You may be seated. You know, in this passage of Scripture, it says that the Lord planted a garden. He created. And He put the man in the garden, and He put the trees that He had formed, and He made them to grow. Notice it says He planted trees, plural, in the garden, but only one tree of good and evil, one bad tree. And He gave them the commandment and a choice, say, of all the trees of good you may eat freely all you want, but the tree of knowledge of good and evil, don't eat of it, because when you do, there's going to be serious repercussions. There's going to be death. You know, you stop and think about how many choices did they have? It didn't tell us how many trees there were, but obviously they had a lot of choices, maybe peach trees, apple trees, orange trees, fruit trees, all kinds of trees to eat from. Lots of options. How many options do we have this morning? You know, just this morning, you stop and think about it, all the choices you made. You made a choice this morning to get out of bed and to be here. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord that you are. You made a choice this morning whether to clean up or not. I hope and pray that you did clean up. We don't need no stinky people. Amen. You made a choice whether to brush your teeth or not. I hope Bubba doesn't have green teeth this morning. Amen. You made a choice whether to eat breakfast or not eat breakfast or what to eat for breakfast. You made a choice on what clothes you were going to put on. You made a choice whether you would pray this morning before you came. You made a choice if you were going to come this morning and allow Jesus Christ to speak to your heart and do a work in your heart and life, or you were just going to come do church. You made a choice. You know, there's a lot of good and bad choices in life. I read about a husband who went to his psychiatrist, and his psychiatrist said, you know, you really need to search yourself. Why don't you go home and let your wife quit henpecking you and tell her that you're going to be in charge and you're going to be the boss? So the man goes home, he barges in, shakes his fist at his wife and said, from now on, I am in charge around here. We're going to do things my way. You're going to cook my supper. You're going to have my bedclothes laid out, my good clothes laid out, because I'm going out with the boys for a while. And you're going to take care of the house and stay here where you belong. And when I get back in the morning, you're going to clean me up. You're going to shave me. You're going to put on my necktie for me. And you know who's going to do that? She just looked at him and said, yeah, the undertaker. Not a good choice. You know, our God is a God of choices. You know, if you think about the nation of Israel, God gave them an option of blessing or cursing. Deuteronomy chapter 11, let me look at it there with you. You can see it on the screen, chapter 11, verse 26. This was Moses speaking to them before he died, before they went into the promised land. He said, behold, I set before you today a blessing and a curse. The blessing, if you obey the commandments of the Lord your God, which I command you today, and the curse, if you do not obey the commandments of the Lord your God, but turn aside from the way which I command you today to go after the other gods, which you have not known. Now it shall be when the Lord your God has brought you into the land which you shall go into possess, that you'll put the blessing on Mount Gerizim and the curse on Mount Ebal. Now, you got to think a little of the context that Gerizim was a mountain that was lush. It was full of a lot of vegetation and trees on it. It was a beautiful mountain. Over opposite from it, across the valley from it, was Mount Ebal. It was nothing but a rocky, barren rock. In Deuteronomy chapter 27, Moses says, when you go into the land, put six tribes of the children of Israel at the foot of the base of Mount Gerizim. Put the other six tribes at the base, the foot of Mount Ebal. You Levites and priests get in the middle, and you pronounce the cursings and the blessings of the law for the people, and all the blessings you people over on Mount Gerizim, which was lush and beautiful, you say, amen. And you Levites shout all the blessings of the law, all the curses of the law. If they do not obey, you do not obey the Lord God. You are standing over on the foothills of Mount Ebal, rocky, barren wasteland. And you shout amen. And you read Joshua chapter 8, that's exactly what they did. They pronounced the law. The blessing is the law, amen. Cursing is the law, amen. Blessing is the law, amen. Cursing is the law, amen. God was saying, you have a choice. Whether to follow the law and be blessed or to disobey the law and be cursed. You know, Jesus said something pretty close to that. Matthew chapter 7, he's preached the Sermon on the Mount. A lot of people feel like it was the best sermon ever preached by anybody. Probably was, but since he was the author of all sermons, period, amen. But in Matthew chapter 7, verse 24 through 27, it says, therefore, he says, whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, hears and does, I will liken him to a wise man who built his house on the rock. And the rain descended and the floods came and the winds blew and beat on the house and it did not fall, for it was founded on the rock. But everyone who hears these sayings of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. And the rain descended and the floods came and the winds blew and beat on the house and it fell, and great was its fall. Notice what Jesus is saying. He says, you got a choice here. You hear and you do, your house is going to stand. You hear and you do not do, your house is going to fall. Jesus said, you have a choice here. You want a blessing or a cursing? You want your house to stand or to fall? You want to take the broad way and the narrow way? You want to go to the straight gate or the wide gate? You want to be saved or you want to be lost? That's what it comes down to. And God gives choices. And Adam and Eve here in Genesis chapter 2, he gives them choices, but he gives them only one bad choice, and it costs us dearly today because They made the bad choice. I want to give you some things this morning out of this passage of Scripture that we need to base our choices on. And young people in our congregation this morning, please, please, please hear me. Please listen to me. Base your choices on these things, and God will bless you. But if you don't, you're asking for heartache and pain and trouble and trial all of your life. I want to look at some things that Adam and Eve failed with. One first thing I want you to look at is, and we all need to have to base our choices and make right choices, is have a conviction about God's word. Notice he says in verse 16 and 17, and the Lord commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden you may freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat, for in the day that you eat of it you shall surely die. Base your choices on this. This is God's word. Have a conviction about it. It is true. It is inerrant. It is reliable for us. It is just as valid today as the day it was penned. It is good for us to follow it, to have a life that Jesus Christ wants us to live with, blessed, with blessings in our lives. The sad thing about it, they knew what God said, but they didn't do it. But did they not believe God was being truthful with them when he said, you're going to die if you do this? Did they think it was just a fairy tale or something? Did they not follow it? No. I read something, and I saved it from years ago. It came from a little magazine called Bizarre News. It was back in 2001 in Guyana. And the article said this, perhaps a 23-year-old Guyana man should have asked for an intelligence spell instead. Aliubiga Abirima was reportedly shot dead by a fellow villager while testing a magic spell designed by a witch doctor to make him bulletproof. After smearing his body with a concoction of herbs every day for 2 weeks, Abirima volunteered to be shot to check if the spell had worked. Abirima died instantly from a bullet wound. Dumb choice, amen. You know what I found out today? Most people make their choices based on timing, based on circumstances, based on feelings or intuition. Well, I think I need to do this, or I believe I need to do that. Let me tell you something. You start doing it, and I start doing it. We start basing our decisions based on what we think or we feel or intuition. We're asking for trouble. When somebody said, well, you just ought to follow your heart. Well, be careful with that. Jeremiah says your heart is deceitful and desperately wicked. Who can know it? You follow your heart, you're going to end up in a world of hurt. Be careful. In the book of Judges, chapter 17, verse 6, this verse is written, and this theme is all the way through the book of Judges, really, but this verse says this, in those days there was no king in Israel, and every man did that which was right in his own eyes. Same verse is repeated in chapter 21, verse 25. Now, if we're not careful, we just skim over that, we don't realize the implications of it. It says there was no king. Now, we don't have a king in America today. We got a president, but we don't have a king. But that's not what it's talking about. When he says there was no king, there was no authority in the land. Because there was no authority, everybody did that which they wanted to do and whatever was right in their own eyes. It's kind of like we have in America today. If we don't have the authority of God's word in our life, we're going to do whatever we think is right in our own eyes, and we're going to be in a world of mess. Everything is relative. It depends on the circumstances. But let me tell you something. If it was wrong yesterday, it's wrong today, and it'll be wrong tomorrow. Base your convictions and your choices on the word of God. Adam and Eve didn't. Enter the curse, enter death, enter pain, sorrow, suffering. How many of us know somebody who's battling a disease and heartache and pain in their life, lost a loved one? I mean, I can go on and on and on. And it all started because Adam and Eve sinned, and sin came in this world, and death because of sin came on all man. You want to know why we're suffering? It's because they did a dumb thing. They didn't follow God's word. See, if you know what it says, your decision is already made. Jesus said, forever, O Lord, your word is settled in heaven. You know, sometimes people say, well, I don't know about that Bible. That thing is just too constricting for me. It's too, I can't have any fun, and I don't want to be all chained down by God's word, and I can't have any joy in my life and do what I want to do, I don't want to follow God's word. Let me give you a little illustration that God brought to my mind years ago. If you drive Highway 160 over into Cock County, on past what used to be the old American Inca plant, and you get over into Cock County, as you start into Cock County, the road gets really swervy back and forth. And there is one place right out there, there was two rock quarries, one on each side of the road, and they filled with water. And what I understand, both of them are between 600 and 800 feet deep, full of water. And the road goes right between them. Somebody got the brilliant idea that if somebody run off the road, whether they went to sleep, they lost control of the car, something malfunctioned in the car, they run off and they go into one of those quarries, it's going to be like instant death because they're going to be in a car that's going to be plunging to the bottom of 600 to 800 feet deep of water. So somebody put some guardrails up. They put guardrails on both sides of the road all the way out through there. If somebody, anything goes wrong, rather than going off to imminent death, they just bounce back into the road. Can you imagine somebody driving through there and say, you know, I don't like these guardrails. I want to drive where I want to drive. Maybe I want to drive over to the edge a little bit closer. And they've got these guardrails up to keep me from driving where I want. I just don't like it. They're really confining, constricting, and restraining of me. I don't like guardrails. What would you say about them? Dumb. Well, let me tell you something. God's word is like guardrails for us. God says, don't do that, you're going to get hurt. Stay in a narrow way. Stay on the right path. Don't get over here. You'll get yourself in trouble. God's word is for our protection. It's for our safety. God's saying, don't get hurt. We need a conviction about God's word. We need it settled in our heart that we're going to follow it, because if we do, it'll save us a lot of pain and heartache. Adam and Eve didn't do that. Don't you notice the second thing we need to have? And that is have a commitment to God's best. You know, God had planned out his best for them, live in the Garden of Eden in perfect harmony with him and everything there, all the good things that they had there. Joshua chapter 24, verse 15 says, if it seem evil to you to serve the Lord, choose for yourselves this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which are on your father served, which are on the other side of the river, or the gods of the Amorites, in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Joshua said, I've already made the choice. I'm going to follow God. You got to choose what you're going to do. He said, Israel decide. Let me tell you something. The decision is not a one time only, well, I'm going to follow God and then go the next day and do whatever you want to. It's a every day, every morning you get up and say, God, I'm going to follow you today. I'm going to follow your word. I'm going to do what you say. I'm going to try to live for you as best I can. I'm going to say, it's God, it's you today. God, it's your word today. God, it's your spirit. Because we make the choice, is it going to be ourselves or God? We're going to decide whether we're going to be the world or the word or the spirit or Satan's influences in our lives. You stop thinking about faith and commitment, trusting in God. See, if you believe in something, you'll commit to it. You'll do it. In our day and age today, you make deposits, mobile deposits or direct deposits and things in the bank, and you go to the store or wherever you go and you use your debit card, trusting that the bank is going to honor the money that they say you have in your bank. Hello? You commit to using it because you believe. You know, you go to the doctor and he says, you got this wrong with that wrong, and I'm going to write you a prescription. Now, it used to be a few years ago, doctor would take out a little bitty piece of paper from this little pad he had, and he would scribble something on it, and he'd say, take this to the pharmacist and get it filled, and take this as it's prescribed. And you'd look at it, and you didn't have a clue what it said because you couldn't read it. Hello? Can I get a witness? But you trusted the doctor and didn't know what he was doing. Today, you don't even get to see it. It's all electronic. You go to the pharmacist, it's already been transmitted. You don't know what he sent to the pharmacist, what it's supposed to be. You just trust that he sent it right, and you trust the pharmacist that they filled it right. You go home, take the medicine, it's going to do what it's supposed to do, and you say, hope it does. Amen? Do you realize how much faith we exercise just doing the little things of life? Because we believe, we commit to it. You know what Jesus said? He said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. And no man comes to the Father but by me. You believe that? Is Jesus the way? Is he the only way? Is he the true way? Jesus said he's not a way. He's not the best way. He is the only way to be saved. Kind of like Bernie Sanders wanted to chastise one of Donald Trump's campaign picks because he believed in the salvation in Jesus Christ alone and wanted to basically try to embarrass him in front of the whole country, saying, well, America's not about to. He broke the Constitution even asking that question. I love what Adrian Rogers said one time. Somebody was trying to pin him down. Said, Dr. Rogers, you mean to tell me that a Jewish person, they don't trust Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, they're going to go to hell? Adrian Rogers, with the wisdom of God and the Holy Spirit, Dale is he's leading us to study on, led him to say this. He said, sir, let me tell you, I believe my own children would go to hell if they don't trust Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. It's not about being Jew or white or black or anything. It's all of the people of this world. And the only way of salvation is through Jesus Christ. Do you believe that? Then you'll commit to him. And if you're not here this morning, you have a choice this morning to say, I will trust Jesus. I will surrender my life to him. I will give my life to him, not just today, but every day the rest of my life, because I want to know him as my Lord and Savior. I want to be saved. I want to know heaven one day as my home. I want to have that new body that Adrian and I was talking about one day. I want to get be to the point when all the sin, suffering, sorrow, pain, and death and everything that's a cause of Adam's choice will no longer be a part of my life. Notice in chapter 3, in verse 6, it says this. When the woman saw that the tree was good for food and it was pleasant to the eyes and a tree desirable to make one wise, she took of its fruit and ate. Notice it says good for food, pleasant to the eyes, desire to be make one wise. You know, that's kind of like what people say today. You say, God's word says you shouldn't do this, but God, it's good. God says you shouldn't do this, but God, it's fun. God says it's desire to make one wise. It's going to hurt you. But God, I can experience some things in my life and be so great. Danger, Will Robinson. They ignored what God said. You know, Eve was the leader, and she took first, and Adam was a follower. Let me ask you a question. Well, which one are you? Are you a leader or a follower? Are you a leader to say, I'm going to make choices my way and you're going to lead other people astray? Or are you going to say, I'm going to be a leader and I'm going to follow God's word? I don't care what the world says. I don't care what anybody else says. I want to follow Jesus Christ with my whole heart, mind, soul, and spirit. There'll be people follow you. Are you a follower? Just whatever somebody says, you're going to do it. Doesn't matter what God says. Do you trust God for wisdom? Have you committed to his wisdom? See, if you believe, you'll commit to him. And to his word, Adam and Eve thought that what they wanted was more important than what God had told them. Make a commitment to God's best in your life. And the third thing I want you to notice this morning is have a concern for God's children. Do you think Adam and Eve maybe stopped and thought of the consequences? Well, God said this, but we think this, and if we do this, I wonder what the consequences will be. Did they think of themselves? Do we think of ourselves before choosing what the repercussions will be on some of the choices we make? You know, the Bible says we reap what we sow. Galatians chapter 6, verse 7 says, be not deceived, God is not mocked. Whatsoever man sows, that shall also reap. You know, there's something called the law of the harvest, and many of you, maybe you're farmers, or maybe you farm, you've got gardens and stuff like that. You know this very well. The law of the harvest says, rule number one, that you reap what you sow. You plant corn, you're going to get corn. You plant beans, you're going to get beans. You plant pumpkins, you're not going to get watermelon. You're going to get what you sow. Law of the harvest, law two says you reap more than you sow. You sow one seed, one corn, grain of corn, you'll get a whole stalk of corn with several ears on corn, and every one of those ears has several hundred grains of corn. You get a lot more back than you sow. The third law of the harvest is you reap later than you've sown. Harvest time usually is several months later. What's that way in the spiritual realm too? A lot of people are sowing and they say, well, I don't think it's any big deal. You're going to reap what you sow. you're going to reap back a whole lot more than you sowed. And you're going to reap it later. People do things and get into sin, living life they want to live, and they say, well, nothing's happening. It's okay. Well, just wait. Repercussions come. See, many people are sowing to worldly desires today, and many people are making irresponsible choices. Maybe in a moment of lust, you end up with a pregnancy. Then you're going to reap responsibility, and maybe as a mother or father. If you're lazy and undisciplined, you don't want to work hard in school or in work, you're going to end up being put in a control situation. Proverbs 12:24 says, the hand of the diligent will rule, but the lazy man will be put to forced labor. I remember years ago at Triangle, people that worked under me, if you had somebody that was lazy, you couldn't get them to work, guess where we put them? On the assembly line where they had to work. You didn't put them in a warehouse where they go hide behind something and stay away from you. You got some lazy people, Mark, I'm sure you're putting them in situations where you can watch them. See, if those things come back to haunt you. If you're rebellious to authority, you may end up in jail or in prison. At the very least, a tough boss who watches over you with his thumb on you. Someone wrote this, I don't know where it came from. It says, sow a thought, reap an act. Sow an act, reap a habit. Sow a habit, reap a character. Sow a character, reap a destiny. Do we think about ourselves? And sometimes we miss opportunities. You know, one of the things that we talk about a lot, always reference Jonah. Jonah, God gave him another chance when he disobeyed God and went in the ship, went down to Tarshish and headed out and wouldn't go to Nineveh and preach the word like God had told him to. You know the story, throwing him overboard and the fish swallowed him up and spit him out on dry ground. And God gave him another chance. We say, praise the Lord, he is a God of second chances. And his mercies are new every morning. But let me tell you something, God doesn't always give second chances. He didn't give Adam and Eve a second chance. He didn't give Lot a second chance when he chose the plains of Sodom. Noah got drunk after the flood. You don't read any more about Noah after that. God didn't always give second chances. But let me tell you something, even when he does, there's always consequences to the choices. You know, a lot of people, young people ruin their lives because they make a bad choice early on. And think about yourself this morning. You may only have one opportunity to trust Jesus this morning. This may be your last invitation. Your eternal destiny is at stake. What are you going to do? You know, did they think about other people? You know, people say today, well, it's nobody else's business. It's my business. Well, let's stop and think about that. Did Adam think about Eve? What would happen to her? That she was going to bring forth children and with pain? Those of you moms here, you've had kids. You can testify to me that childbearing is not a pleasant thing. Sure, the joy after the child is born, but going through the process can be very painful. Adam, think about that. They lost Cain and Abel. Cain, because of his sin, slew Abel, so they lost both their sons because of sin. The earth was cursed because of their sin. People say, it's my life, I can do what I want to. Solomon took for himself 600 wives and 300 concubines. He went to all the nations around and he took wives in and said, well, that's king's business. He can do what he wants to do. It's okay. But you know, Solomon polluted the land with idolatry because all these pagan wives brought in all their idol worship with them. Next time you think it's your life, I want you to do something, think about something. Come sit and pray with me. Counsel and comfort a family with me. Come talk to a mom and dad whose child was killed by a drunk driver. Come sit down with me when you counsel with some parents that their teenage daughter is pregnant. Or maybe a mom and dad that their teenage son is now a father. Or a child arrested for drugs. Or a husband and wife, their husband is left for another woman and committing adultery. Or a wife is left for another man and been committing adultery. Talk to those people who are going through that because of the choices other people made. Think about other people. Or just go stand in the emergency room at 11 o'clock on a Saturday night and watch all the people come in and see how many of those people are in there because of some bad choice somebody or someone has made. If you don't care about yourself, have a concern for other people. I read something about the giant redwoods in California. They're known to be the largest, the largest living things on earth. They grow to heights up to 370 feet, and they weigh hundreds of tons. They're huge. And they live a phenomenally long time. Their bark can be anywhere from a half inch to 8 inches thick, and it protects them from insects, and it's a natural fire retardant. And there was one that fell in 1991. It was called the Dyersburg Giant. It was estimated to be 4,000 years old. In other words, it was 2,000 years old when Jesus was walking the earth. But you would think a big tree, that huge of a tree, would have a giant taproot. It went down hundreds of feet into the soil, into the ground. But giant redwoods don't grow that way. Their taproot is only about 6 to 8 feet deep, but their roots go out for hundreds of feet all the way around. And the roots intertwine with the other redwoods. They interlock together. So when a windstorm comes, they use each other's strength. See, when the giant Dyersburg giant fell in 1991, it took a lot of trees out with it. Others that were intertwined with it. See, our lives are interwoven with each other. I fall, you fall. Somebody in your family makes a bad decision, it hurts you. My pastor and when I first announced my calling to preach over in White Pine, I was originally from Alabama, and he told me a true story that something happened when he was a young man down there. One of the schools, high schools, had a basketball game at another school in another county, and a lot of the kids rode the school bus to go to the game. Some of the kids who drove got this bright idea. They went around to the area of the road where it really curved around, and they got some yellow paint, and they painted the stripe rather than going around a curve. They painted the stripe going straight till it went off the edge of the road. And then they went back, and he had said, "This is going to be funny when the school bus comes around through there and watch the driver." Just a little while, the school bus came around the corner, the driver following the yellow line. When he realized it was wrong and he was going to go off the road trying to correct, lost control of the bus, rolled it. Several of the young people were killed. Many more were put in the hospital because some kids made a dumb choice. You can't make dumb choices without hurting other people. Adam and Eve in the first garden made a choice and said, "Not your will, but mine be done," and ruined our race. But let me tell you something. There was another Adam, the second Adam, in another garden called the Garden of Gethsemane. He said, "Not my will, but thine be done," to redeem us. Jesus made a choice. He gave his life that we could have eternal life. We could be forgiven. We could know heaven as our home. If he made that kind of choice for us, to die for us, shouldn't we be willing to die to self that we could live for him? Father in heaven, thank you this morning. For our Savior made a choice for life. And I pray this morning that you would help us to make the right choices. To know your blessing and your joy and your peace in our lives. And to be examples for others. God, speak to our hearts this morning. With every head bowed and every eye closed, just for a moment, I just want to ask some questions. Have you made the choice to accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? Surrendered your life to him? Turned from yourself and your sin? Said, "Jesus, I need you. I ask you to come into my heart and save me and forgive me." If you've done that, would you just lift your hand quietly and just say, I know Christ is my Lord and Savior. Would you just lift your hand? God bless you. I know Jesus is my Lord and Savior. God bless you. Take those down. Several of you couldn't raise your hand, or maybe just didn't want to raise your hand, but I pray that you know him. Because if you don't, you can call on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and be saved. That's what his word says. His word says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. You believe in him, you can be saved this morning. Just a moment, we have the invitation. Just come and say, Pastor, I want to be saved. I'll pray with you. I'll show you how you can trust him. Be forgiven of all your sin. Some of you here, maybe you've already trusted Jesus Christ, but for whatever reason, you haven't made the choice to be baptized. Our association is going to have a baptismal service at Harold Park at Cherokee Lake, July 30th. And maybe you say, I want to make the choice this morning to be baptized. I want to be a part of that service, to tell everybody that I've trusted Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. Here's what you need to do. In just a moment, we start the invitation. Just get up out of your seat and come up here and say, Pastor, I want to be baptized. I've been saved. I want to show others I've trusted Christ. There's something else going on in your life, or maybe people that you know are making bad choices and you want to come pray for them. That God would just turn them around, open their eyes to their truth. Let God's Spirit lead us this morning. Father, we give you praise for what you do this morning. Draw us to yourself now, we pray in Jesus' name. And amen.